Blog Talk Radio.
Carol the Coach. Sex, love, and relationships. We talk about it here.
Carol the Coach. Compassion with contemporary relevance.
I am a psychotherapist. I can be your personal life coach, and I can help you with your issues. There are no problems too small or too big. You can talk about anything.
Speaker, columnist, radio TV host, and commentator. Carol the Coach brings messages of wellness and empowerment within reach of everyday people every day.
Almost 5 years ago, I lost my soulmate in an accident. He was killed in a plane crash. Life just for me has seemed to stop.
There are groups all over the city. I mean, I teach one. It is a specific way to start thinking so that you shift how you see the world, which then shifts your energy, and then you feel better and you actually see things differently.
Carol the Coach. Always available to at carolthecoach.com.
Now I've got Russell on the line.
I'm 47 years old. I'm a truck driver. I'm married. I have a wife in San Francisco.
Okay.
I haven't been home in 6 months. My thing is, I don't know if I have a sex addiction or what the problem is. Why do I want what I can't have? And as soon as I can have it, I don't want it anymore.
You're right on target when you say, I don't know if I have a sexual addiction. Well, guess what? Yes, you do. And you know what? That's my specialty, Russell. So you're at the right place. Continue.
I meet women online, and I'm in a different part of the country. I travel all 48 states, so I love sex.
I hear self-esteem issues. You never felt good enough, and you didn't feel like you were getting what you should have then, and you're reenacting that now. Do you want to change that about yourself?
Well, welcome to Carol the Coach.
Carol the Coach.
Hey, I'm
sex,
Carol,
love, and relationships. We talk about it too.
Carol the Coach. Compassion with contemporary relevance.
I am a psychotherapist.
And I can't believe that just went like that. Hey, I'm Carol the Coach, Hannah. I'm Carol Jorgensen-Sheets. I have made it my mission on Monday nights to help you figure out what you can do about your sexual addiction. And if you're a partner of a sex addict, this is a show that will help you to better understand the illness as well as oftentimes help you learn coping skills that assist you in living with an addict as well as taking care of yourself. As a matter of fact, that is what we have tonight. We are excited because we're going to be talking about codependency. And I've got to tell you, codependency is one of those issues that in therapy I oftentimes am asked, okay, I don't get what that term means. I don't know if I am codependent, but I do know that I need to have better boundaries and set limits with myself and the people that I care about. So we're going to be interviewing Ross Rosenberg today. He is a CADC and LCPC. He is a man who wrote The Human Magnet Syndrome, Why We Love People Who Hurt Us. And that is very important because so oftentimes, if you have a tendency to be codependent, you put your own issues on the back burner and you put somebody else before yourself. And whenever you're dealing with addictions, that can be very easy to do. So I really encourage the people that I work with to develop their own sense of healthy needs. Oftentimes that means I have them write down, what are your needs? And then I have them write down ways to attain those needs. And what ends up happening is so oftentimes my clients will say, you know, I can't even write down what my needs are, let alone figure out a way to convey them to other people. Well, the human magnet syndrome is about that dance for what Ross calls the dysfunctional attraction. And when you are attracted to somebody, oftentimes you think you're getting your needs met. And in healthy relationships, indeed you do. But in unhealthy relationships, that flips on you. And you soon find out that somebody else's needs are more important than yours. And so I invite you tonight to pay attention and to feel free to give us a call at 646-595-3284 and ask Ross what he suggests you do if you're having trouble establishing boundaries or if you feel like you are emotionally manipulated, if you're codependent, if you're with somebody who's narcissistic. Now, that's one of those big clinical terms. And, you can have a narcissistic personality disorder, which has a whole set of criteria behind it, or you can be with somebody who believes he or she is more important than you, well, and more important than most people, and their needs come first. Now, we're going to be talking about why is the codependent emotional manipulator relationship naturally resistant to breakups. I'm sure if you aren't in one of these relationships, you've seen it where you go, why doesn't he or she just break up with the other person? That person's running right over him or her. Well, we're going to be talking about that attraction, that magnetic force that holds people together. And it's going to be a great show. So again, I highly recommend that you stay tuned for Ross Rosenberg, who is going to be talking about the human magnet syndrome, as well as he's going to be talking about his own personal journey, why he decided to write about this situation, and what he's seen in his own clinical practice, why two people end up with each other in the first place. In other words, is there some sort of magnetic force drawing them together? Hence his book, The Human Magnet Syndrome. All right, so it's going to be a good show, and you know how I work. You know that I work with the majority of sex addicts in the Indianapolis area, but I have listeners all over the world. And, so oftentimes they teach me as much as I help them. And that's the beauty of this work. Just think about this for a moment. If you believe that you have an addiction and you have tried to stop, you felt that loss of control when you really wanted to stop, you made a promise to yourself and then you couldn't. And in some ways it intensified that preoccupation. You thought more about what you wanted to do. So in other words, the more you decided to stop, the greater the drive, the impulse, or the compulsion. Well, I'm here to tell you that is exactly what designates an addiction. And it's not only that loss of control and preoccupation, but it's that inability to stop. Now, many of you know that I run a men's group on Monday nights, and my addict clients are just so interested in stopping this behavior, but they can't do it on their own. They need the group. They need a good therapist. They need 12-step work. They need an entire infrastructure to help them support that symptom substitution, which is fellowship and meditation and prayer and a higher power and all sorts of things. There's not a one-size-fits-all in this situation. But clearly, there are things that you need to do if you want to break the addiction. And that means changing your life. And I know if you think about what it's like to stop something, you think about what you're going to be deprived of. But in essence, what so many of my clients have learned is that they replace it with something so meaningful and, so fundamentally healthy that once they continue that behavior and they create that symptom substitution. You know, they developed that fellowship. They have that committee. Well, then what they really find is that their life is enhanced. It's better than it's ever been before. You know, this is not an addiction that just happens to men. This addiction also happens to women who have become more and more sexualized and who have learned how to manipulate others through the use of sex. You know, sex oftentimes isn't about sex. It's about power and control. And with addicts, oftentimes it's about trauma reenactment. There is something that's occurred early on in your life that you replicate as an adult whereby you feel like you have the control. And so we want to get to the trauma and we want to heal those wounds. You know, I feel it's such an honor to work with men and women who have this condition because they have tried for so long to stop on their own. They are so thankful to be with a professional who understands the compulsion and who has some guidelines to help them get healthy. And so, again, I cannot emphasize enough how you can't do it on your own. You can't white knuckle it. You've got to be able to utilize the resources available and get the help from people who really understand this addiction. All right. Well, I am, you know, just so pleased to be talking with Ross Rosenberg about the human magnet syndrome. And it looks like I've got a call. So welcome to the show. This is Carol the Coach. How are you?
Hi, Carol. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
Absolutely. You know, the human magnet syndrome applies to so many people. You know, there are so many people that are codependent and do that dance in a relationship. So I know your subtitle is Why We Love People Who Hurt Us, and that typically happens in a codependent relationship. Tell me a little bit about why you decided to write this book.
Well, the book actually started with my own desire to end my personal insanity. I found myself in relationships with very unhealthy women over and over again. As a therapist, I always seemed to like identify what was wrong with other people, but I never really thought about myself. And then one day, a very close friend of mine said, the problem was that I was picking the same person over and over again, the same person but with a different face. And that was the first moment about 10 years ago where I figured out that it's something about me, a codependent person who is finding himself automatically, if not magnetically, attracted to the same person over and over again. And once I realized it was something about myself, then I had a chance to change it.
Well, absolutely. And you know, you're being very honest about the fact that you recognize this very trait in yourself. So as you explored your issues and you got to know your history, tell me why you picked the same person over and over again.
Well, in my book, the Human Magnet Center, what I talk about is the magnetic, what I call the magnetic attraction between codependents who are oriented towards other people's needs and someone who's pathologically narcissistic who's oriented towards their own needs. And these two individuals are opposite in that the caregiver and the care needer are always attracted to each other, almost magnetically. And so what I realized through my own personal experiences is that until I conquered or figured out my own codependency, I was going to fall in love unconsciously with someone that matched up with me, almost like what I call in my book the perfect dancing couple. In order for a dance to work, you need someone to lead and you need someone to follow. Well, the same thing applies to the codependent and the narcissist. This relationship needs the caregiver, the sacrificer, the affirming person needs someone to lead the dance or someone to be selfish or self-centered and narcissistic. And those discoveries led me to be able to help my clients, my codependent clients in my practice.
Well, you know, very clearly, the narcissist typically bonds with the codependent. So in your own words, can you describe what you believe a narcissistic person is? What are the characteristics?
The narcissist, according to my continuous self theory, and I simplify it, in order for me to explain these dysfunctional patterns, I didn't want to get too lost in complex definitions. So the narcissist is someone who, in a relationship, is primarily focused on their own needs for love, respect, and care. Someone who cannot reciprocate, someone who cannot be mutual, who requires a person to take care of them. And then conversely, I define the codependent as someone who in a relationship needs another person who they can give all the love, respect, and care to and not get any in return. And the narcissist does not realize or have any insight into their selfishness and sees themselves as worthy and in need love, respect, and care. And so that simply would be my definition of a narcissist, although I could, of course, go into the DSM definition. But for the purpose of your audience, we'll keep it at that.
Yeah, that makes sense. And then how would you define codependency? What would a codependent person look like?
So if we understand the narcissist as someone who in a relationship needs love, respect, and care and cannot reciprocate, well, the codependent is someone that habitually and reflexively always gives, in great amounts, their love, their care, their respect, their time, their energy to someone, but they habitually, if not magnetically, are attracted to someone who just cannot reciprocate, and they stay in that relationship. And that's the difference of a codependent and a healthy person who makes a mistake in a relationship. A codependent is angry about the person who's not reciprocating. They try to control that person. They try to get that person to love, respect, and care for them, and it's like a hamster on its wheel. They keep trying and trying to do something, and they never make any progress. The healthy person gets frustrated, sets a couple boundaries, ultimatums, and they ultimately break up or end the relationship.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so now, as you said, you called it doing that dance of relationship dysfunction. And, you know, are individuals in relationships first drawn to each other by what they see, feel, and think, or more by the, you know, invisible forces? Because I had said before you came on the call that oftentimes my experiences, they think they found Mr. or Miss Right.
Yes.
And then there's a bait and switch. You know, the codependent typically wants to be saved and rescued and be taken care of because he or she does all the caretaking. They think they find that, and all of a sudden they're doing the caretaking again. So what do you think happens at the beginning of the relationship?
Well, first, all relationships, whether they're healthy or dysfunctional, start off in that haze, that beautiful, wonderful feeling of love and attraction. It's kind of built into us. It's genetic. But for the codependent and the emotional manipulator or the pathological narcissist, it's that same falling in love experience, and it's magnified. So when the codependent, who is essentially lonely, has low self-esteem, meets the narcissist, who's essentially lonely and has poor self-esteem but doesn't know it. These two people, who I call half people, they're not fully developed yet. They feel so comfortable. They feel so perfect in each other's company because they have a problem being alone, and because of that, they fall in love so quickly and deeply. So it's not that the other person is fooling the other one. There's something about the chemistry. There's something about the feelings of perfectness that the codependent and the narcissist feel. They truly fall in love, and the narcissist is not trying to lie or manipulate them. They believe that who they met is the perfect person for them. It's like, as I talk about in my book, it's a dance. You know, the people who are perfectly compatible in the dance, the leader of the dance will always find a follower, and when the both of them are well-trained and well-experienced in their respective roles, they feel perfect dancing with each other. While the codependent feels perfectly balanced unconsciously with the narcissist, and they don't recognize it as such. They just recognize they just recognize it as feeling wonderful. The narcissist might be madly in love with the codependent's smile, the way she looks. And the codependent might be madly in love with the charisma and the boldness of the narcissist. So they're falling in love with more of a fantasy, not reality, and they deeply descend into an enmeshed form of love, and eventually, 2 weeks, 2 months, 6 months later, they both realize it was nothing more than a fantasy, and the codependent is left with a selfish, self-centered person, a narcissist, who cannot ever take care of them the way they want, and they feel stuck. So that would be
so if I understand you correctly, what you're really saying is because of the unmet needs as a child or adolescent, it's that kind of woundedness that attracts each other to each other.
Precisely. Mm-hmm. In fact, the codependent and the narcissist are acting out what they've learned in their childhood. I call it their relationship template. Relationship template is inherited by the way they were raised with their own narcissistic parent. It is a fact, I believe, that for that codependency and pathological narcissism is caused by being brought up in a family with a pathological narcissist. And the manner in which you survive that narcissist set up your relationship template. The person who's to become codependent learned to cope with their parent's narcissism by being the good kid, the trophy kid, the pleasing kid. And they learned that the way they got love from their narcissistic parent was to be what the parent needed them to be. And they would bring, and they'll bring that into their adulthood in their relationship template as a codependent. But the child of the same family, the same narcissistic parent, who cannot be the fantasy child, who cannot please the parent, who cannot figure out a way to make the parents believe that they're lovable, that child goes down a completely different developmental pathway and becomes the bad child, the troubled child, and doesn't get any form of love, even conditional love. And those are the seeds that will come to fruition as a narcissistic disorder in adulthood. So, yes, it does come from the early childhood experiences with their parents.
Well, and it almost sounds like you're saying a narcissist will more than likely have a narcissistic parent.
What I'm saying is both, and it seems kind of ironic, but both the narcissists, they could come from this. I mean, you could have a sibling group of three kids, and both narcissists and codependents have pathologically, one parent who's pathologically narcissistic. It can always be traced back. If you talk to a codependent client, or if you're lucky enough to get a narcissistic client in your office to tell you about their childhood, they both will tell you they had a very narcissistic parent. It's the way that they coped with their narcissistic parent that set their relationship template. So it's kind of odd to some, but they can come from the same family. If hypothetically, of course, you're not going to date someone if you're from the same family.
Well, this is really interesting, and, you know, clinically, you've obviously studied this. You also looked at it because of your own issues. Now, you referenced enmeshment, and that's one of those terms that not everybody may know. Will you talk just a little bit about what true enmeshment is for our listening audience?
Sure. Well, there's different types of boundaries in relationships, especially romantic relationships. The two opposite and unhealthy boundaries are relationships that are distant or disconnected. Those are relationships where people do not emotionally connect. There's not closeness. And the opposite of that is an enmeshed relationship where there's an over-involvement in the relationship. There's almost a loss of an identity where two people need each other's company and support to deal with all of their problems and insecurities. And because of that, it is a very dependent relationship in which each individual feels threatened when they try to break free from the relationship. So an enmeshment is an overly close relationship that can feel suffocating.
Okay, well that oftentimes then doesn't allow a person to individualize or to get a sense of competency or confidence when somebody is smothering them or overly close. So
yeah.
that helps
yeah.
understand that. Now, what do you think is the first step to take if someone realizes that they're in one of these dysfunctional relationships, you know, that are described in your book, The Human Magnet Syndrome?
Well, in my book, I talk about the attraction is largely an unconscious process. We talk about it as the chemistry. And because it is an unconscious process, it is really difficult to catch it if you haven't worked on those underlying issues that sets you up to be attracted almost magnetically to your opposite. The codependent's opposite would be the narcissist. So the best way to stop this pattern is to work on that part of you that is wounded, that was hurt, perhaps neglected or traumatized as a child by being raised with your narcissistic parent. Because until we figure out the origins of our wounding and eventually our relationship pattern, we keep repeating that pattern. As my friend told me, you know, he said, it's Ross, it's the same woman, but a different face. So when I work with my clients, I help them understand that their habitual or almost reflexive attraction to the narcissist, my codependent clients, comes from that part of them that never learned how to relate to others in a healthy way. We talk about what happened to them as children. We work through that part of their life in which they didn't feel unconditionally loved and valued. And through that healing work, that family of origin work, that inner child work, that person is able to heal those wounds that compel them or had compelled them to be attracted to the narcissist.
Okay. And so clearly the first step to take if you're realizing that you're in this kind of a relationship is what?
It's to see a therapist who is trained, such as myself and other qualified therapists, in codependency and what I would call the family of origin and psychodynamics of codependency. Because it's not about reading a book about codependency. It's not about going to a 12-step meeting. It's not about making promises. It's about getting to the core. And that core has to do with what made you the person you are and finding the right type of therapist that can lead you in that direction, that what I call that healing journey, that healing path to take, as we say in the therapy field, it's a peel back the layers of the onion and find
mm-hmm.
out who you are and to discover what you can be, but what we're never able to taught because of your unfortunate childhood.
Okay, so the key is to get with a good therapist. And obviously, you know, for the general public, they may not know who has a good understanding of couples' relationships and narcissism and codependency. So what would you advise them to do next? I mean, how can they find somebody with this expertise?
Yeah, I do the same thing with my sexually addicted clients. As I always ask them to interview their therapist, just like you would interview anyone, your relationship with your therapist could be one of the most important relationships in your life. It could enable you to achieve your dreams, your ambitions, and if you pick the wrong therapist, it can keep you stuck, or in some cases, make things worse. So I always
mm-hmm.
recommend is interview the therapist as much as you can. Screen them before you set the appointment. Ask them, you know, ask them point blank, what is your background with codependency and how do you help someone with that disorder? And they should be able to tell you in an email or in a conversation within 2 or 3 minutes what they do. And if they talk about family of origin and healing wounds and dealing with those aspects of someone's psychological, then that's a really good sign. But if they stay what I call at the surface, on the surface level, then that's a clue that they don't have the skill set to bring you towards that, what I call a healing path or that healing journey.
Okay, so if they can't, in a couple of minutes, let you know, or in several lines on an email, what they specifically are going to do that has to do with childhood issues and core issues, then more than likely you need to look for somebody else.
Right. And I do recommend to your listeners is ask the therapist, so what is your theoretical orientation and what is your approach with codependency? And a therapist that has experience with codependency will be able to answer that very easily. As someone who is brand new, who just read a book or two on codependency, will give you just some very basic generic lines that beginning therapists give you. I'm a good listener, and I support people, and I try to come up with observable goals. So you want to find someone that is comfortable and experienced with the inner workings of the codependent's emotions and psyche.
Well, it would make sense that if somebody really believes that they may be doing this dance with their partner, that they need to get your book, which is The Human Magnet Syndrome, Why We Love People Who Hurt Us. I'm talking with Ross Rosenberg, and he is the author of this book. And certainly you would have a step-by-step foundation for what are the issues, how do you break free from that, what do you need to do. And that would also orient you to finding a counselor that subscribes to the same kinds of beliefs that you do.
Precisely, and I'm glad you said that. And if you read my book, The Human Magnet Syndrome, you're going to understand your codependency in a way that I believe no other book can explain it to you. And with that knowledge, you'll be able to ask a therapist if he or she understands it and can help you resolve, you know, this problem, this relationship template of yours that is deeply ingrained in your psyche. And often therapists, and I've seen this happen a lot, therapists will buy my book, and it's written in a way to resonate with both the professional reader and the layman. And it's not a complicated book, but yet it talks about the relationship in a way that very few people have talked about it before.
Okay. So now let me ask you separately, you obviously are an expert on sex, love, internet addiction disorders. Anybody can go to your website and see, you know, the kind of work that you've done. If you would you share your website with the listening audience and how they might get a hold of you if they want to work with you, if they want to consult with you, what would they need to do?
Well, I would recommend, I have a few websites. The first website is thehumanmagnetsyndrome.com. Also, RossRosenbergTherapy.com. That's RossRosenberg, RossRosenbergTherapy.com. And both of these websites, you can contact me through email, and I can talk to you about whether it's a book or DVD trainings or consultations or any of the various areas that I specialize in.
And so, Ross, is your term the emotional manipulator, is that something that you coined, or did you get that from somebody else?
It's actually a funny story on how that came about. I had written a training called Codependence and Narcissists and Understanding the Attraction, and it was my attempt to teach people what I was learning in my own practice, and I tried to get that into a national audience. And then one day I get a call from someone who worked for a company called PESI, which is one of the largest national training companies in the United States. And they said, we'd love for you to give a training on emotional manipulators. We Googled your training on codependence and narcissists. Then I asked them, I said, well, what's an emotional manipulator? Because in our clinical training, there's no such diagnosis. And they said, well, we want that to be a training because people like that term. So what I did was, is I took that term and I made it into a real diagnostic term. So I thought to myself, what are the most pathologically narcissistic diagnoses in our diagnostic manual? And I came up with narcissistic personality disorder, borderline personality disorder, antisocial personality disorder, and sometimes we call that sociopaths or psychopaths, and the addict, whether it's a drug and alcohol addict or a process addiction or sex addiction. An emotional manipulator is someone who is one of those personality disorders or the addict. So in other words, an emotional manipulator stands for pathologically narcissistic people. And in my book,
go ahead.
Now, you find my book, Emotional Manipulators, stands for just more than just someone who has a narcissistic personality disorder, because it would be limiting to explain that pathological narcissism is only in that disorder. They're really in other disorders, and these disorders, the emotional manipulation disorders, are the most severe, narcissists.
Well, are there some hazards to working with emotional manipulators from a therapist standpoint? You know, we do have a lot of clinical people that also listen into the show.
Well, there's hazards, and there's hazards for being in relationships with severely narcissistic people across the board. They are selfish, self-centered, and often harmful. And the most challenging part of being in a relationship, whether it's professional or personal, is the pathological narcissist or the emotional manipulator that are not conscious or aware of their narcissism. And when confronted about that, they're good at turning it around and making someone feel that it's their problem, their fault, or hurting them. So if you are a person who doesn't think you have a problem, who gets defensive at any insinuation you have a problem, and who is good at turning it around, it makes very challenging psychotherapy. Therefore, many people in our field choose not to work with these pathological narcissists. One is because it's hard to work with someone that neither thinks they have a problem nor wants to take responsibility. But to be fair, there are specially trained therapists who can provide psychotherapy to these pathological narcissists, but it's a very specialized therapy that takes commitment to the therapy, and it's a long-term process. The problem is narcissists often don't stay in therapy long enough to complete that therapy.
Yeah, I was going to say, I would think that's that delicate balance as a therapist of continuing to make the narcissist feel like you get them and see their pain and at the same time confront them and help them to change.
Absolutely. And to be completely honest, it's not my area of specialty. My area of specialty is working with the codependent clients. I'm very confident in what I know about narcissists and how people provide therapy, but it's something that I choose not to do because, you know, we therapists are trained to recognize our strengths and our limitations, and we should never work with a client group or a client type that makes us uncomfortable because that's not fair to the client. And I recognize, because of my personal experience, that I'm not as empathetic with narcissists as I should be. And I recognize that. And so when I am with a narcissistic potential client, I will refer them to one of my colleagues who are good and who are trained and who are as much as anyone can be effective with them.
Well, that's smart. And it's certainly not saying anything about a therapist if they know that they're uncomfortable dealing with that. And oftentimes, let's face it, when you as a therapist feel uncomfortable working with somebody, you probably have those family of origin issues in your own life. And so there's going to be a lot of transference and counter-transference. So it is smart to work with somebody who likes that population or has expertise in that. So I want to ask you, you obviously did a lot of work on yourself to figure this out, and thank goodness for your friend who gave you a heads up on, hey, you're picking the same type of people over and over again. Tell me a little bit about how long it took you to write the book and what kind of feedback you've gotten from it.
Well, there's two answers I have on how long it took to write the book. My first answer is 40 years. I'm 52 years old, and I believe that everything that happened to me, good and bad, came together in a way that put me on the path to want to solve the problem. And once I solved the problem, it put me on the path to want to write about it. But in actuality, It took me about a year to write the book, and I probably needed 2 years, but because I never wrote a book, the publisher convinced me I could write this in 6 months, so a year didn't seem so long. But it
wow.
took me about a year. And it was the hardest thing that I've ever done, because I also own a counseling center, and I also travel around the United States giving training seminars. I also have a practice. So I wrote it, and to the question, what has been the reaction? My best way to answer that is it's a miracle. It's one of the greatest things that's ever happened to me, is that that's something that I wrote about that comes from my own personal experience, and the fact that I solved the issue and now I'm madly in love with my wife, my soulmate, and we've been together 7 years. So not only did I solve it personally, and now I wrote about it, and now I'm helping people throughout the world, and I am constantly getting letters and emails from people saying they've been looking for an answer to this problem, and they found it in my book. So I have never been feeling better about anything that I've done, because I am now reaching an international group of people, and I feel blessed.
Well, I bet so, and that's a perfect segue into how can people get your book, The Human Magnet Syndrome?
Well, they can get the book by my website at humanmagnetsyndrome.com, or they can get it at Amazon. I recommend my website, humanmagnetsyndrome.com, or Amazon. In about 2 weeks, I'll be releasing an audio version of the book. And if someone is interested in the audio version, they should email me at info@humanmagnetsyndrome.com.
Okay. And so what made you decide to go ahead and do the audio?
Because I had this young man who was in my audience in one of my trainings who was blind. And he said, you know, he really wanted to read my book, but wondered if it was ever coming out in audio. And it wasn't until that point in time that I thought, there's a lot of people that actually some people are verbal. I forgot the exact term, but some people learn by listening. Some people learn by reading. And there's a whole group of people that learn better by listening, that like to listen to MP3s or videos or podcasts. And I thought, well, that could reach another segment, of a group of people.
Well, that's smart. And, yeah, I think what you were referencing is that neurolinguistic programming and how they learn, whether that's hearing it, seeing it. And clearly you're right. A lot of people like to hear information, or they like to multitask. You know, that's how they exercise. They listen to books on tape or listen to MP3. So I'm glad that you're working on that. And again, you said that if somebody's interested in obtaining that, they can email you. And again, your email address is? Are you there? I think we might have lost you. We did. Well, I'll tell you what his email address is, because I have it right here. His email address is rossr61@comcast.net. And if I'm not mistaken, we've got him back on the phone. And, Ross, you said that would that's okay, that you can be emailed, and you're hoping to have that available. Are you're starting it on Wednesday, or it will be available on Wednesday?
No, actually, in about 2 weeks, the audio version will be available. And I'm also writing a training, which my book started off as a professional training that is available on DVD. But I'm also writing a training that's going to be available on DVD probably in about 3 or 4 months, which talks about how I work with people to solve their codependency. So the book, The Human Magnet Syndrome, is what I call a why book. The how-to book is what I'm writing next, and if someone is interested in that, they can email me, and I'll put them on my email list and certainly send them a letter or an email letting them know when that DVD or download is available.
Well, that's fantastic, because I know when you said that you were training, I thought, is he training clinicians or is he training clients? So it sounds like you really train clinicians, although you've created this DVD series to help people with the individual issues. Is that correct?
Yes, it is correct, and a little bit. Well, let me explain it this way. What I've done is the way that I wrote my training and the way that I wrote the book is straddles the fence between a professional clinician and the general audience. I wrote that on purpose because both quite common for therapists to be codependent,
mm-hmm.
and because of that, I wanted it to reach the therapist who also could understand themselves and their struggles with codependency, as well as their clients. So that the training is accessible. The professional training, which is available, the senior training you can get from PESI, which is PESI.com, the six-hour training, Codependents and Emotional Manipulators, Understanding the Attraction. You can get that training, and that is 6 hours. You can get CUs from it, or it works really well with the general audience also. And I'm going to be doing another training for both the general audience and the professional community on how someone can break free from their codependency patterns.
And now, are these local trainings for you, or you go all over the United States for this?
I formerly worked with PESI for 2 years, and I decided to part ways in order to just work in Chicago. So I'm starting mm-hmm. my own training company, Advanced Clinical Trainers, which is going to be up and running in about 2 or 3 weeks. And we're going to be doing our own trainings in the Chicago area, but we're also going to record those trainings and put them on the web. We're going to make them available on DVD. And so I will have a lot of the information that I talk about available to a larger audience.
Well, it is pretty doggone impressive that you have really made it your mission to help people understand this dance that couples do. And, you know, you've done it from all different directions, for the clinician, for the client. They can read about it. They can hear about it. And now, you know, they can even get the training they need, whether they be a clinician or the client. So that is amazing. As we begin to end for tonight, can you share any information that you think is relevant that I haven't asked you yet?
Yes. You can. I have about 15 video clips of my training on my YouTube channel. So if you just type in Ross Rosenberg, Rosenberg, on my YouTube channel, there's a lot of videos and a video blog, and you'll get a taste of some of the information that I talk about. And there's plenty of information on the humanmagnetsyndrome.com website. And I encourage you to buy the book, not because I want to sell the book, but I want to help change the world because love and peace comes from people changing their patterns. I mean, if we're going to change the world, we have to learn how to heal our own wounds and stop this multi-generational pattern of codependency and narcissism, and it starts with our own healing. Because as a healed person, we then can raise our children and stop the next generation of codependence and narcissism.
Well, you know, that's a good point. And do you find that to people that are in this dance, that are narcissistic, hooked up with the codependent, what happens to the kids in this kind of coupleship?
Well, as I pointed out earlier, the child of a pathological narcissist is hurt. They're traumatized. They're damaged by the way that their narcissistic parent raises them. So mm-hmm. there's going to be, depending on how they cope with their narcissistic parent, they're going to be the next generation of either the codependent or the narcissist. And then they follow it, and it happens generation after generation. I can trace
yes,
that.
Yes, and certainly when you were indicating that from the perspective of how does this kind of thing develop, do you find that kids tend to bond with the codependent, or they tend to bond with the narcissist?
Children want to bond with both parents. It's I think what is diagnostic or critical in understanding the codependent adult or the narcissistic adult is not who they bonded with, but who they were hurt by. Because the bonding is a positive influence that's going to either mitigate or buffer or help a child be potentially a healthy adult. But to understand what's pathological in them is to understand how they were hurt or wounded or traumatized. And it's that relationship with the narcissistic parent that describes that or explains that the most.
Well, that would make sense, absolutely. Well, I can't thank you enough. I mean, obviously, you are an expert and, I mean, sought after by publishers and trainers and training companies, and now you're starting your own. So I appreciate your insight into this very difficult coupleship that we so oftentimes see. I know the only other time I hear the word narcissist as much as with codependence, I hear it with borderline personality disorder, because obviously those two have that magnetic pull too. So
yes.
I really appreciate your expertise tonight and wish you continued success. Again, I want to reference that if you want information about Ross Rosenberg, you can either go to his YouTube channel, and Ross, they get to your YouTube channel by putting in your name, and that would be Ross Rosenberg, right?
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
And that's
right.
Rosenberg.
Yes.
And then it could always go to the Human Magnet Syndrome site, the website, Why We Love
mm-hmm.
People Who Hurt Us, and I encourage you to get the book because it's very well written, and it's compelling. It gives people a lot of hope that there are ways to change behaviors, have boundaries, create assertiveness on both sides of the fence so that, you know, they can be more authentic and transparent and real. So thank you so much for your expertise tonight.
And thank you for having me on, Carol. I really appreciated it.
Okay. You take care and good luck to you.
Okay. Good night now. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So as you can see, he's obviously an expert in the field and has a lot to offer. You know, I really appreciate his help with teaching us a little bit about narcissism and codependency. You know, if you love an addict, one of the things an addict will tell you is, I'm very self-absorbed. I'm very selfish. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean they're narcissistic. And yet, at the same time, it may. So I highly recommend that you get this book so that you decide for yourself, you know, are you married to a narcissist? Are you narcissistic yourself? Do you have the tendency to be codependent? Or are you married to a codependent who absolutely smothers you with trying to do things for you? And, of course, you can always go to Codependence Anonymous, which is available throughout the United States, well, throughout the world. So I appreciate that you have been with me tonight. We are always looking forward to learning more from the experts in the field. And I got to tell you, I am pulling up right this second. We have a special guest next week. Even though it's going to be Thanksgiving week, we have a special guest, and it is Christine Turoshield. She's going to be talking about anxiety and how to self-soothe when you really need to get grounded and understand yourself better and your relationships. So we'll be talking with her next week. As I say at the end of every show, there will only be one of you at all times, so I fearlessly want you to have the courage to be yourself. And I appreciate the fact that you listen in every Monday night. You can download this show on iTunes and get over 60 episodes. I think we're up to 70 now. And you can always email me at carolthecoach@AOL.com. So have a good night, a great week, and we'll see you next Monday for Sex Help with Carol the Coach.